Good morning. Do you feel better?
Yes.
A little bit rested? Woo, good. That's great. Good to see you this morning. Boy, I tell you what, that Justin and his youth camps, it's pretty rough living. I mean, really? Justin, I thought I'd taught you better, man. Golly. You know, I mean, I was a youth pastor at Countryside. You may not know that for about 10 years. And I'd bring groups to Colorado. We never stayed in a hotel. Never. We stayed in tents. And if it rained like it did last night, which it did on occasion, you know, people, I mean, I'd hear like, my sleeping bag's wet. And your point? Unless you brought a second one, then it'll dry out. Maybe tomorrow afternoon, but it'll dry out. They wake up in the morning, it's cold. It's like, well, it's Colorado. It'll warm up. You'll be okay. Man, Justin. A hotel every night. Showers even. This is sweet. Well, I'm telling you, I appreciate being able to speak at your camp because mine were a little harder. And we didn't have those conveniences. So, boy, you need to appreciate Justin. And, of course, I think this may reflect a little bit of Justin's personality. When was the last time you went tent camping, Justin? Yeah. You guys are spoiled. I remember taking a group into Mexico, and we were staying in an orphanage. And I mean, it panicked some of them when we turned the lights on and the bugs scrambled. It's like, well, at least they scrambled. I mean, come on. What is the problem? They're like, I mean, was that a centipede that walked across? Yeah. And the other one was a scorpion. But they'll go away. You'll be okay. You guys. Man, Justin. Pretty sweet. Good to be here. Let me just open us in a word of prayer. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this time. Thanks for the beautiful day. Refreshing rain last night, but grateful that the sun's out today. So we can enjoy all the activities that you have in store for us. Lord, thank you for the night's sleep. Thank you for the leaders that have been willing to commit and come here to serve in this camp. Lord, might you give them wisdom for each day to accomplish your eternal purposes and the strength as well. Pray that you bless the events of today. That'd be a sweet time of fun and fellowship, also of personal growth. Lord, I pray that you'd use this time that we now have in your word for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we talked about the uncompromised Christ, and we talked about his commitment to the will of God, commitment to the work of God, motivated by love of God. Those are three, so they're so important principles in the Christian life. I want to talk about the uncompromised mind this morning, but before I do that, I just want to talk about the gospel and the intent of the gospel in a person's life. Now, I know if you sit here, many of you, how many have been in Countryside for most of your lives? Okay, so most of you are going to just check out at this point, and I'm saying don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, because I think oftentimes the reason a person doesn't live as they ought is because they don't understand the gospel. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can't tell me the gospel. I'm saying there are people that don't understand the gospel. And I mean that in this way. I think for a lot of people, the idea of the gospel is it has more to do about heaven than it has to do about earth. It has more to do about the future than it has to do about now. And that's not accurate. That's not true. That's why a person will say, well, I'm a Christian, because they're anticipating the future life with Christ, but it has no bearing or very little bearing on their present life. But that's not the gospel that Jesus presented. Not at all. You guys, as you consider the gospel, you guys, why is the gospel so essential for us? This is an open question. Why? Why is the gospel so essential?
It's God's crystallized word that tells us how we're supposed to
live. Okay, God's crystallized word, it tells us how to live.
It's when, like, Jesus came so that we could hear the connection between God and man.
Yeah.
So it's
Yeah. Jesus came, so we have a connection between God and man. Good. What else? Yes. Yeah, it allows us to have a loving relationship with God so that we can now glorify God on earth. Yeah. It's how we're saved. Good. Keith?
It showed that God was faithful to the Israelites because he fulfilled his promises to them. That he promised
them. His fulfillment of the promises from the very beginning of time, even before the Israelites in Genesis 3. I mean, those are all good things. You guys, the gospel... All of those are great. But you guys, the gospel is so important because you are so bad. And so am I. But I don't think we get it. I'm not convinced we get that. I think it's so easy to look at the gospel. It's just one of those nice benefits that God gives to people so that we can, you know, I mean, we talk about a relationship, but I'm not sure how many people really have a true relationship, because a relationship is like a something that you really invest time and effort in. But you guys, it's easy to want that for the future. But you guys, the issue is our sin. That's the issue. You and I, apart from Christ, are enemies of God. Enemies. Because you understand that God says, you are in opposition to me. You're on the other side of the aisle. You're not my friend. And you guys, it's our sin that is such a huge problem. And if you don't see that clearly, you will not live for Christ as you should. You won't. Because... you know, you just feel like you're okay, and salvation is more about what you get than about who you become. Big difference. Huge difference. You guys, another thing. You know, if you understand how sinful you guys, think about it. In your own life, okay, what are the evidences of the struggle that you have with sin? What are the evidences of that? Consequences. So what do you get? No, I'm just kidding. Consequences you get when you disobey your parents. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You guys ever say any things that you know are just not honoring to God and not loving to other people? Somebody else. What are the evidences of sin in our lives? Yes. I mean, it can be hard to let go of sin. What are the other evidences? Yes. Yeah, you can just see it in the kind of fruit or lack thereof. Yes. Yeah, conflicts with other people. Yeah. But usually pretty good love for self. Yeah, attitudes, other people, and authority. Good point, yeah.
It may not directly show to other people that your thoughts.
Yeah.
So be the opposite of what you need to do.
Have you ever done that where you're talking to somebody and you're acting really nice and in your mind things are spinning that are not so nice? Huh? You guys, here's the truth of it. You realize how selfish you are? And I am? Because that's the profound reality of sin. You understand that? Left to yourself, that your life will revolve around you. It's not that you might not do nice things from time to time, but your life revolves around you. That's why if somebody offends you, you get angry. That's why if you don't like what your parents instruct you to do, you get frustrated. That's why you're willing to talk to other people in inappropriate ways about other folks, friends, or authorities. Because that's sin is that bad. And if you don't understand how profoundly bad sin is in your own heart, then you will not understand your daily need for Jesus Christ and his word. You won't. You'll think you're okay. I mean, you know what pride is? I mean, a simple definition of pride: independent living. I essentially just live the way I want. That's why people don't spend time in the Word. I just live the way I want. And every now and then I got to open a book, and you know, because you know, I want God to treat me good when it's benefits. But you guys, a person who understands the magnitude of their sin, they understand they are desperate for Christ in their life. They are desperate for God's Word. Because you guys, left to ourselves, we are fools. We're just fools. And so that's why God in His grace sent Jesus Christ to live a perfect life. Because you guys, you can't get through this day without sin. And I can't. That's why Christ came. And it's because God is that holy, righteous, almighty God who was so kind to send His Son. And He sent His Son not just so we go to heaven. He sent His Son to forgive us of our sins now, so that in this life we are no longer in bondage to sin, so that by God's power we can live lives that please God and that proclaim the gospel and live the gospel so that others will respond to the truth of the gospel. You don't have to be in bondage to sin. So if you're a Christian, the reason you sin is because you want to. It's not because you have to. When you're a non-Christian, you sin because you're just a sinner and you're in bondage to sin. Big difference. There's a big difference. In Titus 3:5, it says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And you guys, you've heard this over and over again, what it means to come to Christ. Well, Jesus says it in this way. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand in Mark 1:15. Repent and believe in the gospel. But you guys, when it says repent and believe in the gospel, the idea there is not that you just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to go to heaven. The idea is that you understand. The only reason you can repent is because you understand how bad you are. That's what you're repenting of, how bad you are. You're repenting of your sin. It's not just ask Jesus. You guys, it's dealing with your sin. It's coming to grips with the reality that who you are is completely opposite of who God is. And that's why if you don't understand the magnitude of your sin, you can't possibly understand repentance. And if you can't understand repentance, you can't truly believe in Christ. And don't get me wrong, you can have a mental assent, but you don't believe in Him, that is in faith, submitting your will to Him. That's what true faith and true belief is. So when you understand your sin and you understand the offense that you are to a holy God, and you repent, it means that you see your sin as God sees your sin. And you recognize He is holy and you are His enemy. And you bow your knee and you turn from your sin and you turn to Christ in faith. But you guys, when you do that, that sets a completely new course for your life. That's why for a person who says that they're a Christian, but they continue in the same essential patterns of life that they were in before, that makes no sense. That means they don't understand sin. They don't understand God's righteousness. Because for you and I, it says that if you're in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. You're a new creature. The old things have passed away. New things have come. God works a change in your life, folks, that is substantial. He works a change in your life that's substantial. I'm not saying that you're perfect, but I'm saying that now you are on a new course, and one of the things that happens is that now you think differently than you did before. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren. You guys have heard these verses over and over again. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. You guys, what does sacrifice mean to you?
Give up your own will.
Yeah, give up your own will. Old Testament, what happened to a sacrifice? It died. It died. They slit the throat and it died. When he talks, that's why it's ironic that he uses the word a holy and living sacrifice. Right? Well, the idea is instead of dying physically, you die to sin and you live a life of sacrifice unto Christ. And it says you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. It says acceptable to God. You remember Jesus said, I only do the things that are pleasing to God. So your whole goal in life is to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, pleasing to God. So every day, you guys, everything that you do today in the competitions, sometimes you're going to be out there and it's going to be a little warm. And sometimes maybe in this event, you're going to be out running. I don't know what all you got planned. I know you got a lot planned. You guys, every moment of every day, you are called to be a living sacrifice for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, this is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world. In other words, you don't look like an unbeliever anymore. You don't look like an unbeliever anymore. You look like a Christian, distinctly Christian. And that's why, even when your parents offend you by giving you instructions, you don't fight that. You acknowledge this is God's will for my life. If I'm going to be acceptable and pleasing, I'm going to joyfully live in submission to his will. Whatever that looks like, however much it hurts. And you know the songs we sang up here, you guys? You give and take away. I will say, blessed be your name. They sang that song at my wife's funeral. I will choose to say, blessed be your name. It's not an issue of how convenient your life is, you guys. This is not about you anymore. If you're in Christ, this is all about God and his glory. Every bit of it, regardless of your inconveniences, regardless of your heartaches, it's all about him. It goes on to say this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, transformed by the renewing of your mind. The idea is that now that you're a Christian, you think in a different way. You think differently. And because you think different, it affects every aspect of your life. It says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So as a Christian now, because you've been regenerated, God puts his spirit inside of you, and now you have a mind that thinks differently. Your mind used to only think about you primarily. And now God has given you a mind that considers him first and foremost so that now you live in a different way. When you want to be selfish, God convicts you. You recognize it because you think in a different way and you respond differently because you're in Christ. When you're tempted to sin or tempted to look at things that you shouldn't, you turn. Why? Because you think different about those things. When you catch yourself saying things or responding in a way that's ungodly, you stop because your mind is being transformed. It's being renewed, and you think in a different way, and you don't want to act or behave or respond in a way that dishonors the one that you call your God. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, okay, if you have, that is, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then it says in verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Set your mind. I think that might be on your t-shirt or something related to that. Is that right? You can set your mind on things above. In other words, as you walk through this day, in every moment of this day, your mind, while you're living on this earth, you're driven by your focus on God and his glory and his eternal purposes that are going to be accomplished. You guys, I think of it in the most basic ways. You think about it. The bus drivers you guys have. You thinking about them? wonder if those guys are saved. Wonder if they understand the truth of the gospel. People in the hotel. I mean, you guys anywhere. As you set your course, is the person next to you, are they genuinely in Christ? And you're probably the one that knows more what goes on than your leaders, right? With your friends? Because you're going to hear a whole lot more than we are. And if you see warning signs with your friends, the way they're acting or behaving, the easiest thing to do is just do nothing. Because otherwise, they might not like you either. The right thing to do is to represent your Lord well. Remember one time, there's a young man who's today, he's a pastor. But he was in the youth group, and he quit coming to the youth group for a while. I couldn't figure out, I wonder why he quit. Because he was been a good leader and solid as a youth. And when I had a chance to talk to him, he came back, actually. Why'd you do that? He said, well, because when I was in the youth group, I'm hearing this teaching that's good, solid teaching, but I'm hearing the people around me that they're talking about things they shouldn't be talking about. They're going places they shouldn't be going. They're watching things they shouldn't be going. So he's tried to find a better place, go somewhere else. I said, you're a chicken. That is weak, man. Why don't you stand up to him and address the problem? A lot easier to just keep your mouth shut, go somewhere else. You guys, but as a Christian, you think in a different way, and you're concerned about the spiritual well-being of other people. And so you're willing to be disliked and even hated, even by your friends, because it's more important for you to represent Jesus than it is to have friends in this life. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. In 1 Corinthians 2:14-16, it says, a natural man, that is a person who is outside of Christ, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual, that is a person who has become spiritual through Christ, through being redeemed, through being regenerated, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. And then it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, you guys, that doesn't mean we're gods, but it means that because God's Spirit is within us, now, even as you read God's word, you can understand it. You can learn to think even as Christ thought. You have that privilege. That's what God does for you. You understand that? The unbeliever can read the word and they can learn truths, they can learn principles, but they can't comprehend the reality and the life change. You have the privilege, if you're in Christ, to read it and to understand it and to apply it to your life. What is strange is that there are these people that profess to know Christ, but they have no passion for his word. How does that work? Something broke down somewhere. Maybe they don't understand how sinful they are. I don't know. Maybe they don't understand how great God is and how holy and righteous. Maybe they're just not saved altogether. I don't know. But it makes no sense. You guys, the truth is, if you're in Christ, it's because you've understood how sinful you are. And then you understand that Christ, by his grace, has come to be a part of your life. And he's now given you understanding into the truth of his word. And you guys, your motivation to spend time in his word is not because it's an assignment. Your motivation is because you know, left to yourself, you are so unwise. You understand that you need to be spiritually minded every day. And the only way to be spiritually minded is to have your mind set on the word of God. And you guys, it's because you understand and you love God that you spend time in his word. And you guys, I don't mean that you wake up in the morning and you're giddy. Ooh, I just can't wait to spend time in the word. You guys, whether I feel like it or not does not matter. It doesn't matter how I feel. You guys, that's like getting up for school and saying, well, you know, Mom, if you're homeschooled, you wake up and say, Mom, you know, my heart's not really in this today, so I don't think I should do school. Or if you go to public school, that'd be a good one. You know, the next day you go, sorry, I didn't come yesterday. My heart just wasn't in it, teacher, and I didn't think that'd be fair to you. I mean, is that not stupid? I mean, it's just plain stupid. We wouldn't do that in any other arena of our lives, you guys. So the truth is, this is God's word given to us. For believers, we can read it and understand it and put it into practice. And so if I wake up and I don't feel like spending time in the word, I'm reminded in my mind and my heart that apart from God's truth and apart from his wisdom, I will not be able to accomplish what he wants today. I will not have the wisdom I need for this day to accomplish God's purpose. I am a desperate man. I'm a sinful man. And if I don't set a course by God's grace upon his word and upon his honor, then you guys, what a waste. I am a desperate man. I must have God's wisdom. You guys, you got to be driven to it. Let everything else go. Not God's word. But what do we hear all the time? Don't have time. That's a lie. You say that, you're a liar. Because you have time. You just don't want to do it. Right? You have time. There's a lot of things you can get rid of in your life to maintain spiritual priorities. And some of you do, praise God. But there's a lot that don't. And you guys, again, I'm not talking about a burdened assignment. I'm talking about a joyful privilege. Because you can read it and understand it and put it in practice. And God can use you to bear much fruit in this life. But your mind has to be changed. And when you're redeemed, your mind is changed. It is changed. You're not the same person. Look at Proverbs 2. It's one of my favorite chapters. Proverbs chapter 2. It says in verse 1, Proverbs 2, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. I want you guys to think about these words. You guys, the Proverbs are painting a picture of somebody who's come, they've gotten beyond the superficial. You guys, you can sit here and tolerate me, okay, and listen to me. And thankfully, I'm limited to approximately 45 minutes, plus or minus 15 or 20. Okay? And you can move on. But you guys, that's not what this is about. This is about the person who understands the value of God's word. And not only do they receive it, but they treasure it. Do you understand the difference between that? To treasure something? It says, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. In other words, this is not just about, I have to finish the reading assignment, you know, get through Titus chapter 1. Woohoo! I mean, that's tough. This is about reading it and wanting to understand it, wanting it to make a difference in my life. It says, if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. In other words, now you're passionate. I want desperately to know the truth of God's word. I want to be that person that loves and understands God and lives for God. It says in verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. I mean, think about that. You guys, we understand what it means to want money, right? Want to be rich. I mean, you're young, but any of you ever dream about, you don't have to respond to this if you don't want. You ever dream of, what would it be like if I won the lottery? You know, it's like $100 million. Think how I could serve Jesus. We know what it's like to long for worldly things. If I just had that car, if I just had that job, this is teaching, is that we should understand God's word to be a treasure that's above all treasures. The most precious treasure a person could have in this life. Is that what the Bible's like to you? It says he stores up, let me go back, verse 5. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. In other words, as you pursue God's wisdom, it says you will discern the fear of the Lord. You'll discover the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. Wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over. You understand? God says, if you want it, I will give it to you. You know, when it talks about then you'll understand the fear of the Lord, you guys, in Proverbs 8, I think it's 13, it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted mouth, I hate. See, God says if you have a passion for his word, as his children should and must, then he will give you the wisdom, and he will guard you, and he will preserve you. He will provide those essential things that you need to walk with him and to serve him and to glorify him. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Is that you? With all my heart, I've sought you. For a lot of people, salvation is a point in time. I just put my trust in Jesus, now I'm going to heaven, and then they just live their life. That is not Christianity. And there's going to be a whole lot of people standing before the judgment seat, and they're going to be shocked when they say, Lord, Lord, here I am, Master, Master. But did they live like Jesus was their master? No. They lived like they were the master, all the while thinking they're going to be okay. Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I say this all the time, you guys. The issue is not whether you say you know Jesus. You can say that this whole life and go to hell. The issue is if Jesus says he knows you. That's the issue. It goes on. The psalmist says in verse 11, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Did you hear that? I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget. I shall delight in them. See, for a lot of people, the Word of God is like an assignment. It's like going to school. It's like pulling teeth. That's not biblical Christianity. It is the living Word of God. And folks, if you understand that, if you've come to Christ, it must be your treasure. In Psalm 119:97, it says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I mean, that's why it's scary when we're just trying to convince people to do devotions. Come on, just 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Come on. Come on. You can do it. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about having devotions. Don't get me wrong. I'm fine with it. I'm just saying what the Bible says is you meditate on the word day and night. God wants you to be thinking about his word throughout the day and throughout the night. That's what he wants. This is not an assignment. This is something you treasure, you delight in, and you love. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Yes, suppose if one of your friends comes to you and shares about their struggle to spend time in the Word. They indicate that they want to, but they just struggle to find time. They realize that, you know, I know the Bible's God's Word. I just have a hard time spending any consistent time in it. What do you say to them? I had a man come to me like that just a few weeks ago, sitting in my office. I know I'm supposed to spend time in God's Word, and yeah, I know it's important, but could you help me to be motivated to do it? My answer? No. I mean, if it's not motivating enough to understand how sinful you are and how holy God is, if it's not motivating enough that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin, if it's not motivating enough to know that God, for his children, has given his Holy Spirit so that they can understand the word, so that they can apply it, if it's not motivating enough that God comes into your life and gives you all the power that you need to live a godly life, believe me, I have nothing to offer. I mean, what could I say and do? I told him, I can't follow you home, man. God has given us everything that we need. This has to do with people who have come to understand the truth of the gospel and those who have not. those who are being transformed and renewed in their minds, and those who are not. And you guys, God gives his word to us as a gift, as something to be treasured and enjoyed and delighted in. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there aren't days that you get up and you don't feel like reading. You don't feel like spending the time to think and to meditate on. I'm just saying that because you understand the value of God's word and who God is in relationship to who you are, even when you feel like that, you say, God, forgive me that I would even have such thoughts. And you open your Bible. Say, I'm going to spend time in this word. And I'm going to learn. And I'm going to study. And I'm going to contemplate. And I'm going to meditate. Because this is God's word. And I'm a sinful person. And I need it. God, teach me. God, help me to learn. And help me to grow. You do what's right. Because it honors God. And you want to honor him. You guys, spending time in God's word is essential to deal with temptation. Psalm 119, 9:11, that was a critical part. You struggle with anger, you struggle with bitterness, you struggle with worry, you struggle with lust, you struggle with any sin. Just let me tell you, that originates in the mind. James 1, I don't have time to get into it, but it originates in the mind. And here's the issue. Why do people they profess Christ, but they fall into patterns of sin? It's because their mind is not meditating on the word of God day and night. God gives you his word as a treasure, but you guys, if you don't use it as he intends, it's not going to accomplish what it ought. And so here's the beauty. Like if you have trouble with your thoughts, which you all do somewhere, somehow, I'm telling you, you guys, you struggle with thoughts, you pull a verse into your mind. For God so loved the world. You guys, here's the deal. You don't have to let sinful thoughts stay in your mind. God has given you a way to be renewed in your mind. Sinful thoughts, God, forgive me for those sinful thoughts. And you grab a verse, for God so loved the world, and then stop and think, what does it mean that God loved the world? And you guys, you begin to work through that verse, and I can assure you, you can't be thinking those bad things. You can't do it. Scripture memory and meditation allows you to control your mind by God's grace. And that he gave his only son. Man, and you begin to thank God for what he's done. And whoever believes in him, thank you, God, that you've come, helped me to understand salvation. And begin to pray for people that have not come to that. And you guys, in the midst of your temptation, it's a reminder to meditate on the word of God and set your mind on the things above. And you guys, spending time in God's word and meditating and memorizing this word is so exceedingly valuable to children of God, to his believers, his children. You learn to have victory over sin because it's the word of God that renews your mind. There's all kinds of excuses for not spending quality time reading, studying, meditating on the word of God. You have to consider your own habits by way of application with regard to the word of God. Are there any changes that need to be made? And you guys, the enemy is so clever. I mean, you're going to leave here and you're going to get busy, and that's fine. But you guys, you got to think about it. And if you have patterns that are not good, and you know that you've come to faith, then it's just a time to reorient your life. But you guys, you've heard if you aim for nothing, you always hit it. You got to make a plan. Typically, you need help or accountability structure, but you got to make a plan, you guys. And if you don't plan to change, what's the likelihood of changing? Pretty slim. So consider your own habits. If there's changes to need to be made, then consider what they are and define those and make a plan. You guys understand that the thing that should motivate you to spend time in the Word is not guilt. That's not my intent at all to make you feel guilty. The thing that motivates you is God's love and God's grace, so that the Word of God becomes the delight and the treasure of your heart, no longer an assignment, it's a privilege. If you claim to be a Christian, your mind has not really been impacted by that. That it's not been that transformation. Then you probably need to step back and just reconsider your own heart and reconsider if you've really come to understand the magnitude of your sin, repent of that, and turn to Christ in faith. And that would be a great thing if you would face that, so that you can truly be in Christ and not just a religious person playing the game, because that's a pretty miserable life, pretty miserable. And God doesn't want to be like that. So it is treasure. And again, you can enjoy this. You can enjoy this every day for the rest of your life. And it will change who you are, how you think, how you respond. And it will convict you where you need to be convicted. And it will give you delight where you need to delight. And you will see God's sovereign hand in your life as you ought to see it. And you'll trust him in the midst of whatever circumstances because you love him. And you know that he loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for our time. Lord, thanks for your word, and thanks for being patient with us as we walk through this life, because we would all, I'm sure, admit that we struggle, and it is so easy to get caught up with ourselves. It's so easy to be distracted from spiritual purposes. Lord, I pray even this day for each one in this room that by your grace they might find encouragement in you, that they might find refreshment in your word. For those that are truly in Christ, Lord, might they just be motivated all the more to love you and to learn from your word and to delight in you. Lord, for those that don't know you, might you help them to see that reality. And Lord, might you open their blind eyes to the truth, and might they respond in repentance and faith. Lord, might you use this day for your honor and glory. I pray that this group would be a testimony in every venue they go to, that the people that see them, whether it's in a hotel or at the game, in the games that they play or on the buses, Lord, might people see the reality of Christ. And Lord, I pray that even in this trip, that there would be people outside of this group might come to faith as a result of the testimony of this group. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.